Last Sunday night, at the ordination service of our two new elders, the charge was preached by Kenneth Henderson, the minister of Ballyweeny Congregation, and he told of an incident from his time at Coleraine University, how the Christian Union were holding a mission, a gospel mission, and of how the Christian students had got printed some t-shirts advertising the mission, and they were wearing them around the campus. But two of the students had gone to a nightclub and got drunk. And there they were, drunken students wearing the Christian Union t-shirts. And he spoke about how that had been such a bad witness to the gospel whenever everyone else was trying to spread the good news of the gospel. And hopefully they've since got their lives with the Lord sorted out. But you can't help but feeling that the students who behaved in that way had taken the name of the Lord in vain. And so this morning we come to the third of the Ten Commandments, and it's the one dealing with the name of God. And let me read it to you again in the King James Version and then in the NIV. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Or the NIV, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. The first thing to realize here and to ask ourselves really is this: why is this so important? Why is this the third of the Ten Commandments? Because after all, if you and I were drawing up Ten Commandments, we wouldn't think about putting this one in, that the name of God should be hallowed, as Jesus taught the disciples to pray, hallowed be your name. It wouldn't be on our priority list. But let me put it to you like this. Supposing I, at this point in the service, named your name. Everybody's now going to get very nervous. And I said your name. I'm going to tell everybody here about Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so, and I used your name. And how this week, Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so has stolen money. And they've gone on a spending spree. And they've been spending other people's money. I would expect Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so to say, hey, fella, hold on a minute there. Could you just stop saying what you're saying? And you would do that because your name is important to you. You don't really think about it until somebody starts to cast aspersions on it. Your good reputation matters. Your name matters. You don't want anybody running your name down. You want to protect your name because your name is, it's you in a sense, isn't it? When you say someone's name, it's what they work at. It's who they're married to if they're married. It's their children. It's their family. It's their church. It's their faith. It's whatever. Your name is you. So when God says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name, if you and I would be jealous about our reputations, how much more so is God jealous for his reputation? Your reputation is important. My reputation is important. How much more so the reputation of God? So what does he mean when he says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain? How might we take the name of God in vain? Well, I believe that first of all, it means we shouldn't throw the name of God around in a flippant, casual, disrespectful, or irreverent way. You remember Moses asking God at the burning bush, what is your name? God had appeared to him in the burning bush. Well, what is your name? Tell me who you are. And God said, I am that I am. Tell them that the I am has sent you to them. James Boyce, an American Presbyterian minister, says, all God's names reveal something about him, and they should be honored by us in regard of them all. He is God the Creator, God Most High, the Lord of hosts, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the Alpha and Omega, the Ancient of Days, seated upon the throne of heaven. He is our wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is our Rock, our Refuge, our High Tower, into which we run and are safe. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light of the world, the bread of life, the resurrection and the life, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. He is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of Joseph, Moses, David, Deborah, Hannah, Esther, the God of the New Testament writers, of all the apostles, the Lord of lords, and the King of kings. Every name of God says something different about God. So every name of God matters. And we ought never to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. God should never be referred to as the man above. God should never be referred to as the man upstairs. God, jokes about God are surely totally inappropriate. You wouldn't tell a joke, would you, about Auschwitz, where 6 million Jews died? You would say, that's inappropriate. That's in bad taste. Or in Northern Ireland, you wouldn't tell a joke about what happened in Lemoine or in Enniskillen or Oma. You'd say, look, jokes about those things, that's not appropriate. Yet people tell jokes in which God is called upon. God is in their jokes. Or people refer to hell casually, very common. It's increasingly common in today's society. Or use expressions like good heavens or heavens above. Really? The things of God should not be invoked or treated flippantly or casually or irreverently or disrespectfully. A second way in which this commandment might be broken is by using God's name as a swear word. Using it to make yourself appear tough or to make yourself appear cool. I think of different people over the years that I've been in conversation with and they've maybe the blasphemy's just been flowing out of them, and after a while I can't take it anymore, and I've said to them, look, can you stop the blasphemy? And nearly always they answer by saying this, oh, I don't mean any harm by it. That's like driving along, you know, and your speed creeps up and it's a 30 mile an hour and the policeman stops you and says, did you know you were driving at 40? And you say, oh, I didn't mean any harm by it. You've broken the law, whether you realize it or not. And when we use the name of God in such a casual, cheap way, we're breaking God's law, we're breaking his commandment. So take the name of Jesus as an example. Why do so many people who say they don't believe in Jesus, don't believe in the kingdom of God, don't believe in the gospel, why do so many people, their first swear word of choice is the name of Jesus? Why? Why not Allah? Why not Buddha? Why not Jupiter? Why not Mars? Why not Hare Krishna? Why the name of Jesus? Why not Satan? Have you ever heard anybody use the name of Satan as a swear word? I haven't. So why Jesus? Does it not show up the disrespect in the heart of men and of women that they would so take the name of God so lightly upon their lips, it's like they're shaking their fists in the face of God and saying, we'll do whatever we want. You wouldn't say that to the devil. But we do it to God. Like the people in the parable that Jesus told, they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. This commandment, it shows up our disrespect. It shows up our sinful hearts. It shows up the fact that in the very core of our being, we are rebelling and fighting against God. So let's not use God or Jesus as a swear word. Jeez is a shortened version. People say that. By Jove, Jehovah, shortened to Jove, is a swear word. Good Lord is a swear word. Oh my God is a swear word. And how distressing to hear even primary school children just using that as an expression. We live in a world where as people move further and further away from God and from the truth of God, it seems increasingly they're using the name of God as a swear word. Ironic, isn't it? Another way we take God's name in vain is by using it as an oath. to convince someone, usually, that we're innocent. In a courtroom, the state demands that we put our hand on the Bible and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I know you can swear other oaths nowadays, but people can swear in those terms. That's a public means of holding people to account in society. But what's meant here is the casual, I swear to God, I swear to this or I swear to that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else comes from the devil. Yet how often do we hear people, I swear to God, I swear on my granny's grave, I swear on my child's life, I swear to the Virgin Mary, I swear on this, I swear on that. Very common. In other words, the word of a person, and this is what it's really saying, your word is so untrustworthy that you have to invoke something or someone else to verify the truthfulness of your word. Your character is so untrustworthy that your yes is just not taken as a yes, your no is just not taken as a no. There's some people, isn't it true, when you meet them and you say to them, ask them a question, if they answer yes or they answer no, you know they've told the truth. They're people of integrity and they never tell a lie. But when someone is having to resort to, I swear on my granny's grave, this is the truth, or I swear on my wife's whatever, it's a sign they're not trustworthy. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no, said Jesus. Another way to take God's name in vain is through hypocrisy. Kent Hughes tells of speaking at a Christian convention when into his hotel room came an evangelical church leader. The son of a prominent theologian and minister, from childhood he had attended Christian schools, graduated from an evangelical Christian college, had married a Christian from another notable Christian family, was successful in business, a leader in his denomination, a board member of several prestigious Christian organizations, his children believers. But in that hotel room, he confessed to Kent Hughes that since his youth, he had sensed he wasn't really a Christian at all. He had taken the name of Christ to himself. Christian means one of Christ's ones. He had conformed to conventional piety in the church culture. He had been baptized, read his Bible, said grace at the dinner table. Yet all the while, deep down, he knew really he wasn't a Christian. And in that hotel room, as the two men knelt together, this man movingly and passionately poured out contrition for his sins. And Kent Hughes says, this man, this evangelical churchman, now believed in Christ, repented, and was truly born again. All his life, he had taken the name of God in vain. No wonder the Bible says we are to make our calling and election sure. Especially in a world where so many people claim to be born again, they, as it's been said, they sing like an angel and they live like the devil. But if you take the name of Christ, one of Christ's, then surely Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Have you asked for holiness? Have you asked for godliness? Have you asked to be like Christ in your life? So often, isn't it the case that we can play act at Christianity and we just break the third commandment? We take to ourselves the name of the God in vain, name of God in vain. And one last way in which people break the commandment is in church culture amongst Christians. The Lord told me to say this to you. The Lord told me to do this. Could you give generously to this cause, perhaps? And you use the name of God to blackmail people to giving or to doing, to lever people to do what you want them to do. We've got to be really careful with saying, the Lord said, the Lord, if it's not in the Bible, the Lord told me to say this, or the Lord told me to do this. much more tentative and cautious. You know, I feel this might be the right thing to do here. I'm praying about it. I'm seeking God. You know, I feel it, but, you know, kind of much more careful than this kind of God is doing this and God is doing that. And got to be really careful with the name of God. And saying things like, God love you and God bless you. And do we really mean it? Is it heartfelt? Is it sincere? Are we just saying a saying? Because you see, as we come to something of a conclusion today, the last part of this commandment says this: the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who takes his name in vain. I remember a lady once telling me she had been out on the golf course that week with a group of women, and there was blasphemy going on in this group. And isn't it the case that women can be as bad as men? Men can be as bad as women. Children can be as bad as adults, and adults can be as bad as children. And in her lovely way, she had said to this group of lady golfers, ladies, the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So what about this word, guiltless? You see, we live in a society today that thinks the name of God is nothing. Basically, that's the society we're living in. And you can take the name of God and throw it around and use it whatever way you like, and nothing, there's going to be no consequences. The Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who takes his name in vain. The opposite of guiltless is guilty. The Lord will hold you guilty if you take his name in vain and have not confessed that, repented of that, and sought the forgiveness of God. Amazing, you know, it always amazes me how people can live a life of breaking the commandments of God, and they can live with all sorts of blasphemies and swear words and all sorts of disrespect, and yet somehow think that when they die, they go to be with God. The God whose name all their lives they trashed, they mocked, they blasphemed, they invoked sinfully, and they played about with hypocritically. And yet somehow they expect to be with God forever in heaven. That's why Jesus came into the world. The angel said to Joseph, Christ's earthly father, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. There is the hope of the world, the name. God has given the name of Jesus that means God saves, to save his people from their sins. It's a sin to break the third commandment. And I don't believe there's a single one of us in church today, preacher included, who hasn't broken the third commandment. By nature, we are all not guiltless. We are guilty, and we're held guilty with no escape, with no remedy, with no rescue, but God. Call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Maybe all your life you've used Jesus as a swear word. Well, call upon him for salvation, the same name. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus always honored the Father's name. He taught the disciples to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Amazing. And if you do call upon that name today, your sins will be forgiven. You'll receive the gift we've been singing about in that hymn, the gift of eternal life. And then live a life of respect, reverence, a life of honoring the name of God. We talk about hallowed halls or hallowed places or hallowed this or hallowed that. Well, let's talk about the hallowed name of God and the things of God we should always respect. Because our God's name is not to be misused. Our God's name is not to be taken in vain or invoked in some charm. I mean, some of these charm people, they use the name of God in charm, say this 5 times or 10 times, whatever it might be. Just kind of go over it as a ritual, really? Don't misuse the name of God. Let's pray.